Work is a dirty word for many people. Of course, others try to avoid it at all costs, do anything in their power to not be a part of it. And that is kind of describes their idea, their motivation is not to. But we're going to see in this lesson that our work matters to God, and not just what we might say our job is, but any type of effort or labor of any kind would fit into this category of the fact that God is concerned about our labor and our efforts. I want us to first of all look at the origin of work, because it goes all the way back to the very first chapter in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, we find these words beginning in verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we have these words recorded. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Here Jehovah gave man the responsibility and the blessing of caring for his creation. The entire creation was put under man's control and care. And so he gave mankind that responsibility. So work is of great importance to God, and if he considers it a great matter, so should we. Regardless of what kind of work we do in this world, we should consider it something that God is concerned about. Well, in the very next chapter of Genesis, we see that God invests work here with value and honor. In other words, it's a valuable thing, it's an honorable thing. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, we read, "Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any of the herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Here we see that work was something that man was to do. This was his contribution, if you will, to God's world. God created this entire world with plants and trees and animals and birds and fish. But he gave man the responsibility to look over it, to tend it, to be concerned with it, to have dominion over it. And so that was his work that man was given. That was his responsibility. And God thought that it was a valuable thing. So this control, this dominion, this concern that we're to have over the world, tilling the ground, as he mentions, is something God considers important. Regardless of who does it, where it's done, or anything else, it's something God considers to be valuable. So today, our work is a contribution to the world that God created. Then things changed in Genesis chapter 3. Notice verse 17. This, of course, is after the temptation and after the sin in the garden. Verse 17 says, "Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So here, sin changed the nature of work, changed the nature of labor. Because of man's sin in the garden, God put limitations and restrictions on the earth. And as a result, work became more difficult and more unpleasant than God intended for it to be. As it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Not the sweat of your brow. Now you can get a little sweat on your brow for not doing much. But when your whole face is covered, you're putting forth some effort. So because of sin, then tending the ground, having dominion over the world, work in general was more difficult. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth because of your sin. Apparently there wasn't any before. Can't imagine there being no noxious weeds or thorns or thistles. But they're there, and they should be a reminder to us today that they are there because of sin. I mean, they represent sin because that's why God brought them into the world, he says there in verse 18, is because of sin. So work has become more difficult, more unpleasant, because sin came into the world. But God has always intended for people to labor. And when work was instituted, it was not in any way a punishment. It was something that was good and valuable and honorable and worthwhile. So it was a good thing and still is. The difference being, it is just now more difficult. So that's where work came from. Why are some of the, or in what ways today is work valuable? I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I want us to focus on Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, where Jesus says the following. I want us to note the word works. Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Work, when done appropriately, efforts, labors, when done appropriately, glorify God. That's what he says. See your good works. Meaning, of course, there's things called bad works too. But good works glorify your Father in heaven. Good efforts, good labors glorify God in heaven. So we should concentrate on living a life that honors and glorifies Jehovah. When Peter wrote 1 Peter chapter 2, notice what he says about this in verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. This is what Peter says Christians are to do in the world and how they're to live in the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 12 says, after telling them to abstain from fleshly lust, he says, having your conduct or your work, your life, honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God. How? By your good works that they see you do. Now that's a very broad, all-encompassing phrase, good works. When they see that we're honest, when they see that we're sincere, when they see that we work hard, when they see that we do what we are told, all of those things glorify God. So whenever we do a good job, regardless of what it is, doesn't make any difference how little we think it is, if we do it well, then it glorifies God, regardless of what it is. That's why our work matters. Our labors matter. Our efforts matter. Because God looks at it as something that can bring glory to Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when Paul finishes that chapter, near the end of that chapter, in verse 31, notice what he says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, he says this, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do. See, that doesn't leave anything else. Anything out at all. So regardless of what we do in the world, whether we're at home, we're at a business, we're wherever, then we're to give it our all. That's what he says. Give it our all. Whatever it is, eating or drinking. You can eat in a way and drink in a way that glorifies God. Obviously, the reverse of that is true as well. In Ephesians chapter 2, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he talks about the importance of good works and what they can do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you will recognize this verse, of course, after he talks about how, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Those works don't save you. They don't merit salvation, but notice what he says. "For we are His workmanship." Christians are His workmanship. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're to walk in good works. Why? Because we are His workmanship. That's what we are. That's who we are. We're created for good works. So whatever type of work we're doing, we're created to do it well. He appreciates the good work that we do because it glorifies Him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the wise man Solomon had this to say. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 18. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. "Here's what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." Rejoicing in your labor is a gift from God. That's what the wise man says there. So God appreciates all the good work that we do, regardless of what it is. And we should never consider anything too menial or too low. If we do it to the glory of God, then it brings glory to God if we do it well. If we give it our all. That's why it's so important. That's why our work matters to God. Going back once again to Ephesians, we note this time in Ephesians chapter 6 what Paul says again about working for God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Paul writes this, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." Notice what he said. Knowing that whatever good anyone does. So it's not just about our work, our profession, our job as such. But it's anything that we do. He will receive the same from the Lord. God wants us to be honest, be sincere. Don't work as if we're just giving people eye service. In other words, we don't want to just work and do to try and get glory from men. Because he says you're doing what? You are working for Christ, for the Lord. Whatever it is we do, we're doing it for the Lord. That's why we're to give it our all. That's why we're to do our very best, regardless of the kind of labor it is. It really doesn't make any difference what it is. We're to do it sincerely. We're to do it from the heart. Going forward a few pages to Colossians chapter 3, when we studied this wonderful epistle, we went over this, but Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it with all your heart. As to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." God wants to be Lord of our work. We're to do it heartily, with all of our heart, all of our spirit. We're to enter into it and do it the very, very best, because we're ultimately working for God. So how are some ways that God can be glorified through our work? Number one, through our work, we can serve other people and meet their needs. And what an important one this is. In Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, writing to Christians. He tells them in verse 13 of the 12th chapter, he says this, in talking about what a Christian is to do, how a Christian is to behave. And he talks about loving and being affectionate and being diligent. Notice verse 11, first of all, Romans 12, verse 11 says, "Rejoicing in hope, or not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." Verse 13, "Distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality." Given means running after or pursuing hospitality. So one of the things that we do in our work is we're to be diligent, and then we can distribute to the needs of the saints. We can be hospitable. We can meet other people's needs. We can serve other people. Through our efforts, through our labors, through our work, we can help other people. He also told the young preacher Timothy something similar in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Near the end of that first letter he wrote to Timothy, he tells him in verse 18, in talking about command those who are rich in this present age, he says, "Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share, because they're storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life." That's how important doing good works is. That's how important it is. We're storing up for ourselves a good foundation for the time to come. See, that's why God looks at our efforts in a way that maybe most people don't. Most do not, but we're to look at it like the Bible does, and God says it's important. Regardless of what it is we do, it's important. Also, through our efforts and our labors and our work, we meet our own needs as well as those of our family. Staying in 1 Timothy chapter 5 this time, verse 8, Paul told Timothy this, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's pretty serious. If someone is lazy, and that's what he's talking about here, not someone who is incapable of working, but is capable and just chooses not to. Just lazy. He has denied the faith when he does that. That's pretty serious. And he says he is even worse than someone that didn't believe at all. God looks at this very seriously. So our work, our labors, our efforts throughout our life is very important. Turning to 2 Thessalonians now, Paul would write in chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, Paul writes this, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." There, God, again, spells it out very clearly how important it is for us to work and labor. Whether we're working for money or not, we're to work with the idea that we can help other people, we can help our family, we can do good by our labor and by our efforts, regardless of what it is that we're doing. Through our work, we earn money to give to others. In Ephesians chapter 4, you notice how so many times in the New Testament and the Old, we're told the importance of work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, "Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Again, he stresses the importance of work and labor and effort. We can earn money to help others. And then lastly, through our work, we show that we love God and our neighbor. We may never have thought about this one. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus teaches this lesson. Matthew chapter 22, we're going to begin reading verse 36. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, if we love ourselves, we're going to labor and work to provide for us. Well, if we're going to do that for ourselves, then we're to labor and work and put forth effort for others, because we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So look at the ways that God is glorified when we work and when we labor. We can serve people and meet their needs. We can meet our own needs as well as those of our family. We earn money to give to others, and we show that we love God and our neighbor when we are involved in work, when we're involved in laboring and our efforts. Our work, regardless of what it is, really matters to God. He looks down at what we do, and he's either pleased with it or he's not. So it's not the amount of effort, it's or the amount of what we accomplish. It's, are we doing it heartily? Are we giving God our best? Are we doing the very best we can with whatever it is we're doing? That's what he's concerned about. He wants us to do it with all of our might because we are working for the Lord. Jehovah considers our entire life sacred. You know, it's not just what we do on Sunday morning. It's what we do throughout the entire week. Who we're with and what we're doing, how we're doing it. Are we doing it with all of our heart? Are we concerned about helping others? Are we concerned about providing for us and our family? Are we concerned about those things? Because it was God Himself that instituted work and labor all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But sin made it more difficult, made it more unpleasant, brought thorns and thistles into the world. And those will be with us until Christ comes again. Thankfully, there's no thorns or thistles in heaven. We're still going to serve the Lord according to Revelation chapter 22. We'll still be serving in heaven. But that type of service will be the most incredible joy we could possibly imagine. And that's something to look forward to. Tonight, as we sing this invitation song, there may be a need. You may need to ask for prayers. But whatever there is, if you do need to come, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.